Joshua, the set time to favor her has come. The set time to favor her is now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the people who went before us longed to see these things which we are now looking into. And we are privileged to be his witnesses of these things. Now, in this time, and the time is now. When somebody asks you what time it is, tell them the time is now. The set time to favor Israel has come. The 3.5 years of drought judgment are ended. And there are things that we must now understand regarding Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and the church. And we must understand these things now regarding Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and the church. I'm going to say something profoundly important that I hope you have ears to hear. When Judah is born again, the church will be purged, and both will be united and glorified in Messiah Yeshua. I'm going to say it again because it's so important. I pray you have ears to hear. When Judah is born again, the church will be purged, and both will be united and glorified in Messiah Yeshua. The Antichrist has been revealed, and we are in the midst of the great falling away from the faith. Yeshua Messiah said that the tares will be gathered first. Then shall Judah and Ephraim be joined, and real Jews and real commandment-observant Christians shall be glorified in Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. For the Lord will yet be glorified in his body, which is glorified Israel. Israel is the name of the family of God. All born again Jews and all born again Gentiles in Messiah. That is what Israel means. Israel. Sure, it's a nation, but soon we're going to understand what the meaning of Israel has been from the beginning. It's the name of the family of God. And few will stand in the midst of the great falling away from the faith. Don't take offense in the midst of the great offense. Few will not be offended. Have you died to self? It's hard to hurt a dead man. Who will remain standing with the saints at the end of days? See how the mighty are fallen. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Yes, Antichrist was given power to wage war on the saints, to wear out the patience of the saints. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in Yeshua Messiah. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Romans 11:21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. The Apostle Paul, as the apostle to the Gentiles, did caution the Gentiles against pride and unbelief. The Jews shall be called as a nation and brought into God's visible covenant again. In verse 22 of Romans 11, Paul said, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. We are living in a time when we will witness this great unveiling and joining of the two sticks. The two sticks of Ezekiel 37 are Judah, the Jews, and Ephraim, their Gentile brethren in Messiah. Of the Jews today, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:14 through 16, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Messiah. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The two sticks of Ezekiel 37 are the Jews, the natural branches, and the real, born-again, commandment-observant Christians. That is Ephraim, the spiritual branches to be joined and glorified in Messiah Yeshua. We long to be able to walk in the maintained fullness of His Holy Spirit rather than the fleeting fillings of His Holy Spirit and the fading of His glory in us. Brethren, understand the deceitfulness of sin. It is only our iniquity which separates us from our God. We long to be sealed, to walk in that maintained and continual fullness of His Spirit. Brethren, I am to tell you that that day of His people being sealed to walk in the continual fullness of His Holy Spirit is at hand. We long for and groan with the whole creation waiting for the manifestations of the sons of the living God. And that day is at hand, brethren. This is what you don't want to miss. We may know from the great falling away from the faith that we now see that this day must be at hand. There is no rapture or first resurrection until the last day. As Yeshua told us six times, Yeshua told us that immediately after the tribulation is when He sends His angels for His elect. Don't be deceived by any false teacher or false prophet who says otherwise. Genesis 49:1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the latter days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." Today Israel remains sons of Jacob because they have not yet been born again to be Israel. In that soon coming day, when the veil will be removed, and they will see to look upon Him whom they have pierced, they will be born again and justified by their faith in Yeshua Messiah. Right now, in these last days, Hashem is calling the sons of Jacob to return to the promised land of their fathers. Judah's name means praise. God was praised for him, praised by him, and praised in him, and therefore his brethren shall praise him. Judah should be strong and courageous. The tribe of Judah is compared not to a lion that is raging, but to a lion that is enjoying the satisfaction of his power and success without creating any vexation to others. I'm going to say it again. Judah is compared not to a raging lion, but to a lion who is enjoying the satisfaction of his power and success without creating any annoyance to others. This is to be truly great. Judah should be the royal tribe, the tribe from which Messiah, the prince, should come, Shiloh, that promised seed in whom the earth should be blessed, that peaceable and prosperous one, or Savior, Yeshua. He shall, and he did come of Judah. When Jacob was dying, far in the future, he saw Messiah's day, and it was his comfort and support on his deathbed till Messiah came. Judah possessed authority, but after Messiah's crucifixion, this authority was cut off, and according to what Messiah foretold, Jerusalem was destroyed. And since then, all the poor, harassed remnant of Jews were confounded together. The lion of the tribe of Judah is about to be roused up. In the lion of Judah there is plenty of all which is nourishing and refreshing to the soul. Shiloh, the Lamb of God, and the Lion of Judah is the true vine. Wine is the symbol of his blood, which is drink indeed, which was shed for sinners and applied in and by faith in him. All the blessings of the good news of the Lamb of God and Lion of Judah are wine and milk without money and without price, to which every thirsty soul is welcome. I encourage you to look at Genesis 49:8-12 and Isaiah 55:1. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Zechariah 8:1-3. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lion of Judah is about to be roused up, and he is the Lord of hosts. He commands the armies of heaven, and is soon to be roused up in fury, because he is jealous for Jerusalem. Is Jerusalem a city of truth? Not yet, but it will be soon. Is Zion the temple mount, the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord of hosts? Is it a holy mountain? Not yet, but it will be soon. Zechariah goes on, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Because of the terror of Arafat's murdering thugs and the Palestinian culture and education of hate, you do not see the old men who should be in the streets of the city for which they have given their lives. Many of the old men in Israel gave their lives because they knew of Hashem's jealousy and love for Jerusalem, the city of God. You do not see children playing in the streets, but we will soon, hallelujah. Soon the Lion of Judah will be roused up, for he will save his people from the east and the west. What a great promise. Hallelujah. His people. His people. Don't forget that. His people. The born again real Jews and Gentiles in Messiah. His people. Not the church players. Not the men pleasers. Not the self pleasers. Not the mammon chasers. Not the sun god day pew sitters. Not those who keep the traditions and doctrines of men. His people. Who keep and do his commandments. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Is that what kind of faith we have? A faith that makes void the law? Do we then make void the law through faith? Paul asks a great question. Do we then make void the law through faith? Paul says, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law, his people, in truth and in righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? If you want to be part of that remnant that will be saved, you must have ears to hear these things as surely as you must be born again to receive these things. Look and think carefully in regard to these things. See how that remnant, his people, which will be saved from the east and the west, is defined. Is it marvelous in your eyes that the Jews will rise up and expel the people of the religion of hate, the Philistines, from the promised land? Is that marvelous in your eyes? Do you love and seek opportunity to bless the Jews? An important question. Do you love and seek opportunity to bless the Jews? Is it marvelous in your eyes to be identified with the Jews and to be joined and be part of Israel? That is the remnant of the Gentiles, his people, among the Gentiles, who will be saved from the east and from the west. Zechariah goes on. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you have ears to hear these more sure words of prophecy? If you want to be part of that remnant that will be saved, you must have ears to hear these things as surely as you must be born again to receive these things. The vast majority of the world will hate the Jews. The vast majority of the world will go to the destruction as they try to blame the Jews rather than to identify with them and lay their lives down for the Jews if necessary. The Lord is going to strengthen the Jews in Israel. Is that marvelous to you, that the army of Israel is the only army which cannot and will not be defeated? Is that marvelous to you? That's the mindset of the remnant. Have you overcome your fears of the fearful things coming on this earth? Have you overcome your fears? Over and over again, the Lord says, fear not. Have you overcome your fears of the fearful things coming on this earth, which the world will try to blame on the Jews? Do you stand up against those who would seek to blame the Jews rather than to take responsibility for their sins and the sins of their nation? That is the mindset of the remnant. Do you speak the truth, even if you know these truths will be offensive and not nice? That is the mindset of the remnant. Do you guard your heart against imagining any evil against your neighbor? That is the mindset of the remnant. Zechariah goes on, and the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. When you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months, the 9th of Av and Yom Kippur, those are the times. Did you at all fast even unto me? May I encourage you to do so now. if you have not observed the feasts of the Lord in the past, I encourage you to do so now. They are the Lord's feasts. They're not feasts of the Jews. They're the feasts of the Lord. They all point to Messiah. They're all about Messiah. We've got twice the reason, those of us who know Messiah, to celebrate the feasts of the Lord as any Jew who doesn't know Messiah has. If you know Messiah, you should observe his feasts. They're not feasts of the Jews. They're feasts of the Lord, Yeshua, Messiah. And we should celebrate the feasts of the Lord and not celebrate the feasts of the pagans and the heathen. Brethren, it's happening now. Many people of all nations are going to Jerusalem to pray at the mountain of the Lord. Even with the danger of terrorism from that religion of hate, Jerusalem is still the number one city to which people of faith seek to go. Zechariah goes on in chapter 9, the burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also shall border thereby Tyrus and Zidon, though they be very wise, and Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it in fear. Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful in Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passes by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with my eyes. What is the burden of the Lord? What is the burden of the Lord? Do you understand this? The burden of the Lord. When the Lord speaks something by the more sure word of the prophets, the holy men, of whom he testified that he moved them to write what is written, that is a burden of the Lord. Brethren, the burden of the Lord is to perform that which he has spoken by the holy men which he testified that he moved by his Spirit to write that which is written. And that needs to be our burden also. Damascus, Syria will soon be destroyed, brethren. We find that burden of the Lord in Isaiah 17:1. Gaza and the other places mentioned here in Zechariah chapter 9 are going to be destroyed also, according to the more sure word here and also in Amos chapter 1. What if Israel nukes Damascus and Gaza? And many in the world view that action of Israel to be the cause for World War III. Will you join with the world in condemning Israel? Or will you stand with Israel, knowing this burden of the Lord has been spoken and written in the more sure word of prophecy? In spite of those facts, Arafat is loved by the Roman Vatican false prophet Pope. Arafat's first visitor, after being set free from 5 months of house arrest over in Ramallah, was the Vatican Secretary of State. Why? Because whatever is a more sure word of prophecy and a burden of the Lord to perform, the Illuminati Satanists, who now control the governments and media of this world, are burdened to resist. Then we may know that we are in that time frame of these last day events. The main subject taught in Palestinian schools is hatred and killing of Jews. What if Tyre, the center of world trade, were to be linked to Tarshish, the westernmost of nations, or America? What if the Israeli destruction of Damascus and Gaza is thought by the world to be the cause of the destruction of America and the ships of Tarshish, according to Isaiah 23:1? Would you still be in agreement with the burden of the Lord in this more sure word of prophecy given in Zechariah chapter 9? That's a good question to ask the so-called Christian president of America, and we need to be asking it of ourselves. Zechariah goes on in verse 9 of chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Why should we be rejoicing over the fearful things we see coming upon this whole earth? Because we have a blessed hope, and this is our blessed hope, that immediately after the tribulation of these days, our King, the Lion of Judah, is coming. Our blessed hope tells us that even if we be at ground zero of an incoming nuke, that we go right on. Our blessed hope tells us that even if we will go to the guillotine, if we refuse to receive the mark in our right hand or our forehead, that we go right on. Our blessed hope lets us know that we don't die if we stay in Messiah Yeshua and don't fall back. Hallelujah. How many will fall back who have listened to the false teachers and false prophets who have told them that before these things happen, before the last day, before the last trump, before the first resurrection, before all these things that must come first, how many will fall back who have been told these things that they will be raptured? How many of them will fall back who have been taught against the Word of God by the false teachers and false prophets? It is sad that people trust their teachers and prophets who tell them what they want to hear more than they trust the more sure words of prophecy written in the Holy Bible. The batting average of the more sure word of prophecy so far is better than 2,000 for 2,000. Like the precision with which the Lord Yeshua fulfilled this more sure word, "Thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass," we may be sure that the few remaining unfulfilled more sure words of prophecy will be just as precisely fulfilled. We will see another of the more than 2,000 for 2,000 fulfilled prophecies in chapter 11 regarding 30 pieces of silver. And we do rejoice in the midst of this evil and are not terrified because of our blessed hope in Messiah Yeshua. Because of that blessed hope that we do genuinely love his appearing, even though we know it's going to be after the tribulation, we are in nothing terrified by our adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition, but to us of salvation and that of God. So we do rejoice, even if we are imprisoned in Babylon while Babylon is being destroyed. Zechariah goes on, "Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls as the corners of the altar, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Because of the blessed hope which we have, we may soon be prisoners of hope. Yes, it's true. We may soon be prisoners of hope because of this blessed hope we have. Soon we will see Judah bent and turned to the Lord as the veil is removed and they look upon him whom they have pierced. Then the commandment observant Gentile believers in Messiah, Ephraim, will be the reinforcements to fill the bow and be welcome in Israel. Ephraim, the commandment observant Gentiles in Yeshua, will be welcome, full-fledged sons of Zion, to stand with Israel in this Antichrist armies as they try to insanely destroy Israel. The Lord will defend Israel, and all the armies of the world gathered against them will not prevail, because the Lord God of hosts will be on the side of Israel. Zechariah goes on in chapter 10, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The drought judgment is ended, brethren. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, and therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled, because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. The idle shepherds of Israel have spoken vanity and lies. These idle shepherds are both the Jews in Israel and the Gentiles in the world. The political and religious leaders, the idol shepherds worldwide, have spoken lies and vanity. The false teachers speak vanity in the churches. The false prophets prophesy lies. They give such vain hopes of peace and prosperity and a pre-tribulation rapture. And many today who demonstrate their love to the Lord and to their brethren by keeping his commandments are cast out. They're ridiculed, and see no faithful shepherds for the cause of the corrupt leaders who speak vanity and lies. The anger of the Lord is kindled against the shepherds. The god of Freemasonry is the goat god, Lucifer. How many of these idle, false shepherds in government and religion are Freemason goats? The truth about the percentage of goat god people in government and religious leadership is shocking. Yeshua the Messiah, the Lord of hosts, is with Judah. He is the Lion of Judah. And the Jews have the only army which cannot be defeated. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lion of Judah will lead and direct the armies of Israel as surely as the bridle directs the horse. Here we see another of those 2,000 for 2,000 more sure words. And know indeed that he is the son of David, of the tribe of Judah, this chief cornerstone, Messiah Yeshua, the Lion of Judah, who was nailed upon that Roman cross outside the walls of Jerusalem on Nisan 14 at dark, the Lamb of God, in 30 A.D. Oh, it is finished. The battle is finished. There's just a mop-up action. And this great Messiah, this great King, will now lead the armies of Israel to victory in battle. the Lion of Judah, the God of Israel, is with them and makes them the only army in the world today which cannot and will not be defeated. And all who come against Israel from now on will be confounded. Zechariah goes on, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased, and I will sow them among the people. And they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Surely we can see the Lord of hosts, the Lion of Judah, strengthening the hand of Judah. Consider the miracles that this tiny nation of Israel, being victorious in three major wars in which this modern state of Israel was attacked by armies 35 times Israel's size. Consider the largest air-to-air dogfight in history. In one day, the Israeli Air Force wiped out the entire Syrian Air Force, with a score being 92-0. That's a miracle that some Syrian pilot did not get off one lucky shot. This is shooting with machine guns, air-to-air combat, 92-0, brethren. We do still await the soon coming day when Ephraim will be joined to the battle with Judah. We know the burden of the Lord, that the Lord of hosts, the Lion of Judah, is with them. Ephraim can now, by intercessory prayer for Israel, join the battle. The Lamb of God, who is the Lion of Judah, has redeemed Ephraim. Ephraim responds to this redemption in love by how they observe his commandments. Ephraim delights in the law of the Lord and sees the royal law of God, which Yeshua wrote with his finger in stone for Moses, as the law of life, the law of love, and the law of liberty. The deceived sun god day pew sitters who have made void the royal law with their feigned faith call Ephraim a legalist, not even knowing the difference between obedience and legalism. Obeying God's commands is obedience, and the only right response to the love of God. Obeying the doctrines and traditions of men, even if that man is the Pope, is legalism. Soon, when the veil is removed, Ephraim, which has been sown in America, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and the whole world, will hear the call of the Lord to return to the promised land. Jews, Judah, today, who could make Aliyah and do not, they are disobeying the Lord of hosts. Many of them may soon die in the modern extermination camps for that disobedience. Zechariah goes on in chapter 11, "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled." Lebanon used to be a beautiful Christian country, until Arafat and his gang of thugs were run out of Jordan and went into Lebanon. Lebanon is destroyed. Lebanon has become a land barren of its cedars. Lebanon was totally spoiled by Arafat and company before he was run out of there to set up his terror business in Israel. Now King Hussein of Jordan has died. The Hashemite King of Jordan was one of the true stabilizing influences in the region. He knew what Arafat was all about. The king was the pride of Jordan, and now he's gone, or spoiled by cancer. He had to run Arafat out of Jordan after Arafat tried to take over and destroy Jordan. And now we have also seen the recent passing of King Assad of Syria. So now we have the young lions in charge in both Syria and Jordan. Bashar Assad of Syria is only 35 years old and is acting without restraint in his aggressive posture toward Israel and joining in alliance with Iraq. Zechariah goes on, thus saith the Lord, my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men every one into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. Notice that what Zechariah is saying here is that there is no mention of either Ephraim, Judah, or Israel. Here we see the inhabitants of the land. These are the Philistines. The Lord will not recognize them as a state or as a people to be delivered. Arafat is the Hittite king of the Philistines. The Hittites are terrorists. Strong's number 2865. That Hittite means to break down, either by violence or by confusion and fear, abolish, affright, to make afraid, amaze, beat down, discourage, to cause dismay, to go down, scare, terrify. And Philistine from 6428 means all that roll in the dust, to roll and wallow oneself. What a great description of the Hittite Philistine Arafat. Arafat the Hittite terrorizes and breaks down by violence and fear. And Arafat the Philistine wallows and humbles himself to collect money from the UN, the EU, and many charitable organizations, which he uses to line his pockets and to pay his gang of terrorists, because of the hatred and depravity of these people toward the Jews, God will not deliver them. Zechariah goes on, and I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That that dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Should we be watching now? for three of these foolish shepherds to be cut off in 1 month, these ungodly men will abhor the God of Israel, the Lion of Judah, and God Almighty will loathe them. Beauty and bands tell us that we are again hearing about Judah and Israel. As a sign or emblem, the prophet seems to have taken two staves. Beauty denoted the privileges of the Jewish nation in their national covenant, and the other he called bands, denoting the harmony which had united them as the flock of God. But they chose to follow false teachers. The carnal mind and the friendship of the world are enmity to God, and God hates all the workers of iniquity. The prophet demanded wages or a reward and received 30 pieces of silver. By direction and inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. This was to form another of the 2,000 for 2,000, fulfilled exactly, perfectly fulfilled prophecies. It was exactly the bargain of Judas to betray Messiah. The 30 pieces of silver were then used to purchase the potter's field. After the money had been cast to the floor of the house of the Lord, the potter's field is where the Messiah was crucified, and directly beneath that cross of Messiah, where the earthquake opened the ground 6 inches to the left of the cross, so that the blood of the Lamb of God could flow, the blood of Messiah, the Lamb of God, flowed down that crack to sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the menorah, and the temple furnishings. The Ark of the Covenant never was in the second temple, known as Herod's temple. These things are still in the cave where Jeremiah had them placed 600 years before the Lamb of God, Messiah Yeshua, would by his own blood ratify the covenant. And this is where Ron Wyatt found the Ark of the Covenant and the temple furnishings sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb of God. Nothing ruins a people so certainly as weakening the brotherhood among them. And this is why we must make the command of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, a command which we strictly discipline ourselves to obey in these days. Speak the truth, pursue peace, imagine no evil in your heart against your neighbor, and love no false oath. These are things that God hates. When sin abounds, love waxes cold, and strife and war is soon the result. Those who separate themselves are wrong, just plain wrong. Jude 19 tells us they are sensual and have not the Spirit of God. Those who fall out among themselves will also have provoked God to fall out with them. Willful contempt of Messiah is the great cause of man's ruin. If God's people truly and rightly valued Messiah Yeshua, they would not contend about the little matters, brethren. The four horns of Oslo have truly shamed and scattered Judea, Israel, and Jerusalem. Now, we look for the any day arrival of the four carpenters who will tear down the political and religious corruption in Israel. Find those in first chapter of Zechariah in verses 18 to 21. The people of Israel, I can tell you, brother, we have seen it. The people of Israel have their heads hung down in the misery of having been abused by foolish shepherds. The foolish shepherds never do anything that they promise in their election campaign speeches. They are puppets of the Antichrist Satanic New World Order, just the same as or worse than the other nations' corrupt politicians and religious leaders. Their political and religious leaders seek their own ease while they fleece and slaughter the flock. The idol shepherd has the garb and appearance of a shepherd, He receives submission and is supported at much expense, but he leaves the flock to perish through neglect, or leads them to ruin by his example. And this fits many political and religious leaders, but particularly so in Israel today. And while they deceive others to their own ruin, they themselves have the deepest condemnation. Zechariah goes on and he says, "And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock! The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." Many believe this idle shepherd to be the Antichrist because of the head wound of Revelation 13:3. It will be an important event of great tribulation time, the time of Jacob's trouble. Things will happen very fast at this point. At this point, it may be wise to seek the Lord if you should be out of the city. At this point, for sure, you need to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith, in Messiah Yeshua. He alone is the ark of deliverance for the destruction coming upon the world. Zechariah goes on in chapter 12, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. And though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. And the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them." We need to understand the burden of the Lord. When the Lord gives his word that he testifies that he inspired by his Spirit these holy men to write, that more sure word of prophecy, then that is the burden of the Lord. To make that more sure word of prophecy come to pass, that is the burden of the Lord, to fulfill his word, which is written in the Holy Bible. We then, as the people of God, are burdened to see these things come to pass and be careful not to be against the burden of the Lord. We now see this burden of the Lord coming to pass right before our eyes. The Lord has made Jerusalem a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone. One of the acts of treason of Shimon Peres was to promise the Pope a hegemony and control of the city of Jerusalem in 1992. This pact of Perez's treason is documented in Barry Shumish's book, Carpetbaggers in the Promised Land. The people of Israel will not allow the law of Israel that Jerusalem is to be the undivided capital of Israel to be violated. When the leaders of Israel tried to give away Jerusalem, the people of Israel will rebel. We saw over 500,000 people rally at the end of Clinton's term when he threatened to support the division of Jerusalem. What Clinton threatened, Bush did on that day of infamy on June 24, 2002. What Bush did makes June 24, 2002 a day of infamy. The peace and safety speech of the U.S. so-called Christian President Bush, wherein he referred to another or new Palestinian state existing alongside Israel, is an abomination of the highest order. It is far removed from truth or anything that could be called Christian. It may sound good to unregenerate or antichrist or ungodly minds, but here are a few words of God Almighty, who cannot lie and who does not change. Brethren, consider these words, Exodus 23:32, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods." Deuteronomy 7:2, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee, thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. The Lord shall comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. In that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. All that burden themselves with Jerusalem shall be cut in pieces." When they who would burden themselves with thoughts of dividing Jerusalem say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The division of Jerusalem will not stand. If it means civil war in Israel, if it means withdrawal of Israel from the United Nations, if it means every nation of the earth, including the United States, being set against them, the division of Jerusalem will not stand. The governors of Judah shall say in their hearts, "The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God." The burden of the Lord says that in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in the sheath, and they shall devour all people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even Jerusalem. The promised land of Israel will be purged of the moon god worshippers. Jeremiah 33:15-16, "In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." And in Zephaniah 2:4-7, "For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Gerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant, and the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds, and folds for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. The burden of the Lord is that the Lord of hosts in that day will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Zechariah goes on in chapter 12, verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadrammon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Again, we see the burden of the Lord, that he will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. God is going to save this whole nation in one day. The veil will be lifted from the eyes of this whole nation. They will look upon him whom they have pierced. We will see a whole nation in genuine repentance, and God will bless them for trusting him. The evidence of the blood of Yeshua the Messiah still sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and the location of the Ark and temple furnishings will be made known to Israel. That blood is unique. It has been analyzed with electron microscopes in 9 different laboratories in 6 different countries, and the results are always the same. The blood sprinkled on the mercy seat is positively human blood and positively different from any other human blood. In a normal conception, there's 46 chromosomes, 23 from the female and 23 from the male. One of the chromosomes will be a Y chromosome from the male to produce a male child. The blood on the mercy seat had 24 chromosomes, not 46. 23X from Mary and 1Y. It proves that Yeshua Messiah did not have a human father. And this is hard physical evidence that is the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. Proof that he was born of a virgin and conceived by the Holy Spirit. This hard physical evidence may have great influence on this nation being born in a day. One other thing that's interesting is that Ron Wyatt told me that there is perfectly preserved the original leather scrolls upon which Moses wrote Torah. And this particular evidence destroys the religion of Islam. It also is hard physical evidence that Muhammad is a false prophet. Muhammad's testimony is that the Jews perverted the scriptures. The original document would prove what a liar that he was, and that it was Muhammad who perverted the scriptures to form his satanic moon god religion of hate and bondage. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. For finding fault with him, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made when their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. And in chapter 9, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of reformation. But these things are fulfilled in Messiah, brethren. He goes on in verse 11, Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify us to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, which by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. You see the necessity and the superior dignity and the power of Messiah's priesthood and sacrifice? He goes on, verse 23, Hebrews 9. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it was appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You cannot, brethren, I hope you hear this, you cannot come against Israel. You cannot come against Judah or the Jews, lest you come against yourself. You cannot say that you are a true church and the Jews have been cut off. You cannot say that, brethren. If the Jews are not fulfilled, the natural, then we, the wild or the spiritual, will never be fulfilled. Look at Romans 11, verse 20 again. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. The Gentiles are cautioned against pride and unbelief. The Jews shall be called as a nation and brought into God's visible covenant again. For in one day God will remove the veil and save the whole nation, as they then look upon him whom they have pierced. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We must walk in the Spirit. We must remit the sins, or else we will retain them, and bitterness will come. In the power of the Spirit will go out when bitterness comes. We need to search our hearts and remit any and all things by which we have been offended. We must forgive. It's not an option, brethren. We're called to walk in forgiveness. You cannot walk in forgiveness and unforgiveness at the same time. There is nothing like unforgiveness to break your connection to that position of highest authority with Christ, seated with Christ by the Holy Spirit at the Father's right hand. Nothing breaks that positional authority like unforgiveness. Forgiveness is the most godly thing that we can do. We need to repent of our sins and the sins of our Father in blaming things on the Jews instead of showing them mercy and forgiveness in the name of the church, brethren, in the name of the church, and in the name of Jesus Christ. The reality is that the Jews have been persecuted and tortured and killed for over 1,600 years. And as Daniel showed us, we must now repent of the sins of our fathers. If you try to make void the promises of God to the Jews, then you make the promises of God void to yourself. You must love the Jews, or else you are simply not a Christian. It really is just that simple. Psalm 76, the stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah, think about it. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth, and what God is bringing upon this earth, the stout-hearted and those who trust in the flesh and in the power of force will not even be able to find their hands. They will be frightened nearly to death. The rebuke of the Lord will cause horses and military might to cease. Fear God rightly, and you will fear nothing else. If you do not learn the fear of God, then you will fear everything else. Meekness is the ability to endure insult without retaliation. Don't take offense. If anything has offended you, remit that sin of the one who has offended you. If you do not, there will be bitterness. And when the glory of God comes down, whatever is in you will be multiplied. If it's holiness and godliness in you, that will be multiplied. But if there is bitterness and unforgiveness in you, that will be multiplied. If it be love and holiness in you, then when the glory of God comes down, that will be multiplied in the supernatural power of God and authority over all the power of the enemy. John 6, he said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. That sealing is coming soon, brethren, to his remnant brethren. When the glory of God comes down, then whatever is in you will be multiplied. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Yeshua answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. The best definition of a Jew ever written was written by the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Simply put, a Jew is a God-pleaser. If someone hates Jews, or anyone else for that matter, but especially Jews, they're not pleasing God. And they are in for one ultimate horrible surprise. If someone comes against you for loving the Jews and standing up for them and calls you a Jew or a Jew lover, just say thank you. Heaven is going to be full, 100% full of redeemed sinners, and there will be no workers of iniquity. Racism is a form of iniquity. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. If you don't like Jews, you won't like heaven, brethren, because it's going to be 100% full of them. Natural ones and grafted in spiritual ones, all of them, are going to be God-pleasers. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? I believe you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.